listening to Viral Podcasting, the place to go to learn how to generate a six-figure income or more from your podcast. To get the latest tips and information, go to viralpodcasting.com.
Welcome to Viral Podcasting. This is show number 35. I'm Kerry Lutz, and hey, check us out at viralpodcasting.com. Check out my book, Amazon. It will definitely help you on your podcast journey. Well, podcasting, as you know, if you've been following it for any amount of time, is dynamic. It's always changing. It's in flux. And hopefully in a constant state of evolution. And we've got somebody here breaking some important news. Name is Jay Soderberg, otherwise known as Pod Vader. Hey, Jay, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kerry. I appreciate it.
Hey, I was going to introduce you as being with Blog Talk Radio, but all of that has changed recently, hasn't it?
It has. Blog Talk Radio is still a platform that exists, but it's now under the umbrella of the company known as VoxNest, where I am still gainfully employed. Thank goodness.
All right. Well, hey, there's hope for the rest of us then. And so VoxNest, you've got Blog Talk Radio, you have Spreaker, and going to be combining the best parts of each, from what I understand, correct?
That's right. The beauty of having a company that has acquired two existing companies is that there's a lot of experience and a lot of technology behind both of those platforms that we can take and merge together to make even better products. And one of those that we recently launched in the last couple of months is known as Dynamo, which is the same dynamic ad insertion software we've been using on Blog Talk Radio for the last 3.5 years, but we removed the Blog Talk Radio. So now you can monetize your show with dynamic ad insertion from any platform that you're hosting on. You don't have to be a Blog Talk Radio hosted podcast anymore.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. I mean, I don't mind being a Blog Talk hosted show. Been doing it for years now. It's been highly profitable. It's not like I'm getting rich off of the ad rev, but it definitely helps pay the bills, enables me to hire a producer so I can do what I do best and she does what she does best. So now, though, from what I understand, you're going to be having the combined company over 50,000 podcasters on this platform?
Yeah, it's something like that. Don't quote me on an exact number, but it's pretty close to 50,000. And there's a lot of things happening in terms of making that happen, and more products that will be coming, that will be innovated, you know, from the existing products on both of the Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker platform. But I do want to touch on something that you just mentioned there. It's sort of you're not getting rich off of the dynamic ad insertion that you're using from Blog Talk Radio, and I always make sure when I'm talking with a podcaster to highlight that point. It's never meant to be the end all and be all of monetizing podcasts. It's meant to be an extra tool in your utility belt. So using it in combination with other methods to monetize a show is the best way to maximize your revenues moving forward. And we as a company, it's up to us to help maximize the revenues that you're able to earn from the tool that we're providing for you. And that's something that we do every day.
Absolutely. And like I said, it's been a real help. It's in my book, Viral Podcasting. I talk about the key to successful podcasting. Any really successful digital marketing is multiple income streams. So you're building up your mailing list. You're getting sponsors from other places, sponsoring your website, etc. Blog Talk Radio is another income stream. And if you start to get the numbers that are substantial, it can be a nice little bump in your PayPal account every month. It's a nice thing. I always look forward to seeing that money get transferred in there.
I know. I like seeing the money transferred into my account as well, because I'm not just the vice president of content. I'm also a client.
Hey, wait, are we on Hair for Men, or is this Blog Talk Radio or VoxNest? I don't know what happened here. We just transitioned. We segued without me even knowing we were segueing. Well, hey, you're an established podcaster. I think you've been doing this since 06. Do I have that right?
Oh, 06? It might even be longer than that. I think I've been podcasting since 2005. It's been so long. you know, the years blend all together. But I do still remember that day when I was at ESPN and my boss brought me into the office and said, "We need to do podcasting." To which my response was,
"What?
What is a podcast?
What is a podcast?"
And his response to that was, "We don't know either, but you're going to find out."
Yeah, you let us know here. Well, you know what? What's really great, okay, about the whole thing is that with podcasting, for one thing, it's an awful brand. Okay. The name podcast, really, I like when you call it on demand radio. On demand radio is really what it's about. But there's so many people that that are calling it podcast. What choice do we have here, right?
Well, I think at this point, for sure. I mean, we're about 13 years into this as an industry. I think the word podcasting is stuck. Yeah. So whether you like it or you don't, I think it's sort of what we've accepted as a society as the word that's going to describe it. But I agree. I think on-demand radio is obviously a little more descriptive of what we do as podcasters. And it goes a little bit more hand in hand with what we see in other mediums, you know, specifically television, where people are moving more and more to that on demand world. We're not being held down by the constraints of time. I don't have to schedule my appointment to go watch a TV show anymore. I can set my DVR and watch it whenever I want, how I want it. And that's the same thing with podcasting. And what I knew back then when I was first told I had to start podcasting, that was what brought me to this medium and what made me so passionate about what we do now on a daily basis is that on-demand factor, giving people the content that they want, listening to it how they want and when they want to listen to it.
And that's such a great point, because what you really look at is you're providing a service, a need. You're providing programming that isn't obtainable anywhere else, right? It's mm-hmm. really a question of it's unique, it's creative, and it's the perfect outlet. And yet to connect, to get people to listen to you, that can be a little bit challenging, isn't it? Can it?
Well, yes, it's a matter of finding your audience and finding your voice to talk with that audience. That is definitely one of the more challenging aspects of doing a podcast and how to make a podcast sing. But social media certainly helps in that regard, in helping to find your audience. You know, there are so many podcasts now. 13 years ago, there weren't very many podcasts. Now there's, I think the last number I saw coming out of Apple was over 450,000 podcasts. So there's a number of different podcasts and some that deal with the same topics that you deal with in cross promotion. We know that organic share of audience, that word of mouth, is still one of the better ways of helping people to discover your show.
Yeah. So for you, having been doing it all these years, there weren't all the tools available when you started out, right?
Heck no.
It was very much a hacker's paradise, if you will. It was really nerdy. And still to this day, there's not really like an end-to-end application that just does everything for you. You just talk, record, hit the button, and it does the rest. I mean, it's kind of lacking here. Whereas you go to YouTube, you record a video on your phone, you click the icon, and it's uploaded to YouTube instantly. Granted, you might not have intros and outros and a thumbnail and all that, but it seems like YouTube is more geared for the true amateur than is podcasting.
Well, you could do that in podcasting, but I'll think you'll find your audience growth is going to lack in that regard, because there's so many other podcasters that are doing all those bells and whistles that make the content that much more enjoyable to listen to. The amount of effort that you put into your show will directly correlate with the audience that you get. I think I saw the great Dave Jackson once said, "The audience you have is the audience you deserve." So if you're not putting a lot of time and effort into your show, then you can't expect to have a very large audience. But if you do put a lot of time and effort in your show, I guarantee you, you're going to get the audience that you feel you deserve. And if you're not getting the audience you feel you deserve, then you're not doing enough.
Interesting. So you basically get what you pay for. Effectively, you reap what you sow, and you are effectively where you're supposed to be, because that's where you've developed to that point, if I could paraphrase it, right?
Yeah, that's exactly how I look at it. You know, people often say, well, I have great content. No, you don't. I define my definition of great greatly differs than what apparently other people's definition of great is. You might have good content, but I often mention that there are a couple of E's that you have to have in a podcast to be great. Your show has to be educational. You have to learn something every time I listen to a podcast to be great content. You have to be entertaining. I have to be entertained to listen to the show to be great content. And you have to be emotional. You have to evoke some sort of emotion out of me to have great content. Now, you may not have all of those three E's, but you still have good content. It's not bad. I certainly enjoy it, but it's not great. I mean, to be truly great, I mean, you have to be exceptional. It's almost, it reminds me of those days that I had, you know, performance reviews, and I'd be like, oh, no, I deserve a 4. And the boss would be like, oh, no, 4s are only given to those who go above and beyond what their job description is. And that's the same thing when it comes to content. You don't have great content unless you have those three E's, and then you have an engaging audience to go along with it. It's like the hidden fourth E when I talk about those E's that make great content.
And that is a great point, because a lot of people, maybe you have an inflated view of your own significance, but it takes a lot of work to become great. You know, it's the old story, Jay. You're an overnight sensation. It just took you 12 years to become one, right?
Right, exactly.
So biggest do's and don'ts. I mean, this is kind of trivial, but then again, it's not, because it really determines the level of your success. When we're starting out with don'ts, what are the worst 2-3 things you can do when you're starting a podcast?
The worst thing you can do when you're starting a podcast, you know, honestly, I don't know if there is a worst thing to do, because you're already doing the most important thing, and that's doing it. A lot of people, when they start a podcast, they don't do it. But I think if I have to point out something that would be the worst thing, is you can't go into doing a podcast with preconceived expectations. That you already mentioned the quote. There's no such thing as an overnight sensation in podcasting. The shows that you perceive as being overnight successes all had something that helped drive them there that were the direct result of their hard work and effort. Let's take Serial as an example. Serial is a very important point in the history of podcasting, without a doubt. And people sort of look at it as being an overnight success, but Serial wasn't an overnight success. Sarah was a member of a team that put together one of the more popular podcasts that are out there in This American Life. And This American Life is featured quite prominently all across the globe on NPR. And that relationship that Sarah had with that particular show, and the fact that This American Life gave up an episode of theirs to feature Serial in their pilot, is how that show obtained the audience that was clearly thirsting for this true crime. True crime as a genre in podcasting is the largest niche in the podcasting space right now to this day. If you turn the page on any podcasting listening destination, you're going to see a true crime podcast being featured somewhere.
Hey, there's one called The Felonious Floridians, just started, about all these famous South Florida crimes that took place. So I know what you're saying, definitely true. What about a guy like Dan Carlin? So, you know, his history content, it's amazing what he can do on a podcast. He's really elevated the medium, if you will.
Again, Dan's background is that of a broadcaster. So he has a strong broadcasting relationship, and his show has been featured with some of those broadcasters, and that helped drive a lot of that audience. Now he releases one show, every few months or so, doesn't have any sort of regular release schedule, and the episodes that he does release are hours upon hours in length. But the hard work and effort that he puts into those and the sensational way that he tells the stories of the past are what hook the audience. And so if you have a giant marketing megaphone and you get that boost right off the bat and you present content in the way that Dan presents his content, you're going to maintain that audience. And as that audience continues to talk about it, you just mentioned it, I would never have associated Dan Carlin with something that you would be interested in, Carrie, and not for any particular reason, just because I wouldn't make that association. But you brought it up. And yeah. I know of his content, and I'm sure there's plenty of others listening right now that know of his content, but I'm sure there's plenty that don't. And now they hear us talking about his show, and they're going to go and they're going to check out Dan Carlin's history podcast, and they're going to be in for a wonderful treat, because it is a fantastically done podcast.
Really is, in every way. The content, the painstaking meticulousness of the presentation. I got into it because I've always been a history buff and listening about World War I, which I've studied quite a bit, and he seems to cover it better than just about any course I've ever taken, college level or otherwise, books, audiobooks, you name it. He really is top notch. So, your successes, the success stories of podcasting, are not always who you think it's going to be. But having a broadcast background, which so many podcasters don't, really is a plus, because you get certain benefits communicating to large groups of people who you don't know who they are, unseen groups. Being a broadcaster, how did that help you to be successful?
Oh, I it happens to me every time I speak with a podcaster that I often forget that many of these people that I'm talking to didn't go to a four-year educational institute like Emerson College to learn all about broadcasting and the theory behind broadcasting and how to best present content. And they didn't have a 25-year broadcasting career where they learned on the job about the ins and outs and do's and don'ts of broadcasting and what goes into driving an audience and how to keep an audience engaged through teasing. In the way that you present content, those are some of the things that I'm like, oh, I keep forgetting that not everyone's had this education that I've had. So it's helped me immensely. And what really for me in terms of podcasting and my broadcasting career is I came up through the ranks as a producer. So understanding the formulaics of exactly how to put together a show and create a format and helping my hosts present the content in an entertaining, educational, and emotional way was key for me as I transitioned to becoming the person behind the mic. And I often will joke during the course of my podcast that I wish I had a producer to sort of guide me and edit me where I need to cut it off and shut my mouth and just let the show live the way that it is. That's been what's been most helpful to me.
Interesting. So yeah, basically anybody with a microphone can do a podcast, but just because you could do one technically doesn't mean that it's going to be a success. In fact, it's probably going to be a failure. In my book, Viral Podcasting, I had a chapter called If You Build It, They Won't Come, because nobody really cares about your podcast unless there's a reason to care about it, right? I mean, otherwise, you're just going to be obscure and undiscovered. And yet, if you keep working at it, and you keep treating it as an art, as a craft, at some point you just might do it.
That's the key. I was talking with another podcaster earlier today before this interview, and talking to him about the way that he markets his show. And the biggest piece of marketing real estate that you get for free on every single one of your podcasts is your title. And always be thinking about when you write your title, when you write your show notes, when you conduct your show, why would a person who's never listened to my podcast click play on this particular show? So if I write in my title, murder, I know that's going to bring me some attention, but if I'm not a true crime fan, why would I click play on that particular episode? Now, if I put in that title, murder down the river, again, it's not really all that descriptive. Yeah. But if I put like murder on the Connecticut River, well, I live in Connecticut. Now I'm intrigued a little bit. Now I'm like, whoa, there was a murder on the Connecticut River? When that happened? Oh, okay. The more information, the more descriptive that you can get in that free marketing spot of your title, and remembering, why would somebody click on this show? Why would they click play if they've never heard of me or heard of my content before, is key to the way that you're going to help get that audience more engaged with your podcast.
Yeah, that is a great point. I'm going to come back to it, but I'm going to ask you a question about people listening to you. Do the people who listen to you, are they like you? Are they similar in age, income, demographics, or are they different than you? Are they from all walks?
Well, you're talking to a sports podcaster, and I am a white 43-year-old male. So my audience is absolutely me. I'm speaking directly to my audience. Now, that doesn't have to be the case every time, but knowing who your audience is will certainly direct you in how to talk to them and how to present your content to them. If I was doing a podcast on cooking, for instance, I don't think there'd be a lot of white males aged 43 listening to my podcast. And that's not being mean. That's just being realistic in terms of the demographics of the people that would be interested in that particular topic. So I would have to change the way that I present my content so that it would be more appealing to probably a female listener, probably a mother, and age. When you're talking about cooking as sort of a general niche, there isn't a specific age, but I'm probably, depending on how I'm presenting that, if I'm presenting a how to cook podcast, I'm now looking at a younger woman and need to present my content so that it's more attractive to an 18 to 32 year old young mom who's just learning how to cook and looking for new recipes to help feed her family.
So this is a really great point you're making, because it's, your audience is going to determine what the content of your podcast is going to be about. Doesn't mean that you pander to your audience and that you're not authentic, because inauthenticity or lack of authenticity is one of the killers in this business. And you see it all the time. Like, they're trying to sound like 80s radio guy, like, hey, I'm here now and look what we're doing. And, you know, you just turn it off instantly. But in terms of context, so you've got an audience, you believe you're going to capture an audience, and you're telling that audience, you're giving them material that they're going to find, like you said, entertaining, perhaps useful, and perhaps will help them with life's challenges. At the very least, if it's just entertaining, like a crime story, you escape for an hour or 45 minutes, and there's something to be said for that. But figuring out that audience, that is really the crucial link that too many of you podcasters out there just don't do.
Yeah, you see it happen quite a bit. You have to be passionate about the topic that you're talking about, because the audience will see right through it. If they know that you're not passionate about it, they feel like you're just doing it to make a buck or two, or you're just doing it just to do it. They can hear it. And they'll know it, and they'll let you know about it too. So you want to make sure that when you're doing a show and you're creating great content, that you're putting your whole heart and soul into what it is that you're doing. And hey, people have bad days. You know, you could wake up one morning and you'd be like, I really just don't want to do the podcast today. I just have no desire. And you either got to fight through it and put out your best effort and own it. And be like, hey, listen, you know, I know today's show wasn't necessarily the best one, but I'm going to do better next time. I guarantee you that. Or you just go, you know what? I just don't got it anymore. And you turn off the microphone and maybe look for something else that, you know, gets your fire moving. If you don't got the fire in your belly to, you know, make a podcast, it's hard work. And there's a lot of work that goes into making a podcast. So if you don't have that fire in your belly, I highly recommend you put the microphone down and, you know, go listen to podcasts and listen to the guys that do have fire in their belly.
Yeah. Hey, and your enthusiasm level will fluctuate over time. But if you're not waking up in the morning thinking about, hey, what I'm going to do on the show, and then figuring out ways to do it, like you said, maybe it's time. So enthusiasm, passion, and drive are like three of the most important factors in doing your podcast, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
So, and is there one podcast that you can think of when you first heard the concept, you first thought about it, said, that thing is going to be a failure. It's never going to go anywhere. It's a loser. And then you're shocked that it becomes like a major sensation, even if for a little while.
Man, talk about putting me on the spot.
Well, you hear so many, you deal with so many podcasters, you're ideally situated to really judge.
Well, I would say this. Not every podcast is for everyone. I can listen to podcasts. And like I said, when I'm sitting down and I'm judging content and I'm thinking about content creators that I want to reach out to, and I'm thinking about those three E's, I can tear myself away from the content that's being pushed out there. Like I used the cooking example as an example, but I'm not into cooking. I have no desire to learn how to cook. My wife is a pretty good cook. I enjoy her cooking. I'll let her continue to do the cooking. Yeah. And maybe every now and then I can surprise her with an item from one of those, you know, mail order places, and follow the directions. Yeah. And give her a meal or two. Yeah. But I'm not going to go and listen to a podcast about cooking. But because of the job that I have and the content that I'm looking for, I'll listen to a cooking podcast and I can say that is a great cooking show because it contained the items that I talked about in terms of being a great content. But I can listen to other shows that are supposed to be, you know, really popular and really exciting. And I'll be like, yeah, I don't get it. This isn't for me. You know, I can tell you honestly that Serial was not a podcast that I listened to. I listened to the first episode and I was like, yeah, okay. It's another story about a guy who may or may not have been wrongfully accused. And that show took off like gangbusters.
Oh yeah.
So that was that's one of those examples that I can give that, you know, the show wasn't for me, wasn't content that I was necessarily interested in, but it was clearly something that hit a spark and touched the nerve of many millions of others.
Yep. That's a great point. And, you know, you see that all the time. Well, yeah. Every podcast, like you said, is not for everybody because the nature of podcasting is niche marketing, niche oriented. So as far as the future goes, what are you thinking about? Obviously, you're fully invested. You're a podcaster and you work for a podcasting platform. So couldn't be any more. But we're going to see like exponential growth where this thing just takes over and obliterates traditional radio and really becomes like a respected branch of the media.
I don't think we'll ever see the hockey stick that I know a lot of tech folks love to talk about. I don't think we'll ever see that sort of growth, but podcasting is showing strong, consistent growth year over year. This past year, the growth of the awareness of podcasting was 30% year over year. And we continue to see that sort of growth as we move forward, thanks to the good folks over at Edison. And I think that's something that we can continue to see. I do think that there's going to eventually come a time, and we see it more and more, where people are going to turn off their radios and they're going to listen to just podcasting. And a lot of that will have to do with the technology and the way that we're able to access that technology in the car. To this point, the easiest way to listen to audio content in a car is through the radio. And the easiest content to access on the radio is from a radio station. But we know, because we've seen it, that more and more dashboards are being created, and we like to call everything smart these days. So the smart dashboard continues to make headway into new and new vehicles. And as that car turnover continues, and as more and more people buy new cars with smart dashboards, it won't be as easy to just click on the radio to listen to a radio program. You'll be able to click on that radio and listen to your favorite podcast. So that's sort of where I see the industry going. It's the battle over the car. And I think more and more broadcasters are starting to see that, and they're starting to change their business plans to incorporate more and more podcasting.
That is a great point. Michael Harrison kind of says the conventional radio model of the studio and the stick, the antenna, is dead. And it just hasn't been buried yet. Going back to the car thing, I recently rented a brand new Chevy Malibu, and I synced up my iPhone to it. And guess what? Like, it had CarPlay, iPhone CarPlay on it. There was the icon for podcasts, like right there. You just had to tap it on the screen, and all your podcasts that you subscribe to on your phone were right there on the dash, and you could listen to anything that you wanted to. It was an epiphany to me, because I knew this day was coming, but I didn't realize it was here till I got into that car. Pretty soon, all cars will have it. I'm sure Teslas, you can get any podcast in the world. Anyways, well, we're about done. So, hey, people want to find out more about your podcast, about what you're doing over there at Voxcast. Where do we, connect with you?
Voxnest.com is the company website. So I'll put the company first. That's where you'll be able to find our many different platforms that we have. Dynamo, our monetization tool. Hive, which is a product coming up for professional podcasters looking for their white label CMS solution, where you'll be able to monetize your own shows with your own monetization solutions and tap into our monetization solutions. That'll be Hive. Spreaker for podcasters, Blog Talk Radio for online radio, and many more. You can find me on Twitter at The Real Pod Vader is my Twitter handle. I'm always tweeting mostly about sports and mostly about my own podcast called Next Fan Up, which is an NFL talk show. See, you can take the boy out of sports, but you can't take the sports out of the boy.
Hey, well, you got to do what you love, and then you never work another day in your life. Anyway, just check us out, viralpodcasting.com. Email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. And Jay, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Kerry, anytime.
This has been another episode of Viral Podcasting. Be sure to visit us at viralpodcasting.com.